to our Heavenly Father. If you would, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. As we look around and as we observe what's going on in our world today, we realize that the prophecies, the events that God talked about are being fulfilled. It's not something you have to search and try to stretch a little bit that it might fit the scriptures that is there. It's so obvious today and so powerful that you know that this is actually what God said would happen, and it is happening in our times. And then when we begin to think about that, it's time for Jesus to come. And praise God for that in one sense. On another sense, we want to ask God to delay it that another soul might be saved. But then even so come, Lord Jesus. Normally when we think about this and get involved in it, our concern is with our lives, and we talk about individually, are you ready for Jesus to come? And we need to be. And each one of us needs to examine our lives to make sure we are ready for Jesus to come. But in this passage, Jesus addresses not us individually in the sense, are we ready? But he addresses us individually as to our house, our family. Are they ready for Jesus to come? And so in Matthew 24 and verse 40, Matthew 24 and verse 40, and the king shall answer, Matthew 24, the wind blew my page over, verse 40. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. And he sets a stage in the scene that when you see these events happen and the Lord comes, those who are born again by the shed blood of Jesus Christ will be taken. Those who've never prayed and asked God to forgive them and to save them by Jesus, who do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, they'll be left for a period of tribulation such as this world has never seen. Jesus said that particular time, there's never been anything like it before and never be anything like it afterward. When you read in Revelation chapter 6 through 19, you'll see the description of that period and how horrible and terrible it's going to be, how scary it's going to be. You think things are bad now. This is a picnic compared to what it's going to be like during then. And so you're going to have a person left for that particular time of tremendous tribulation and torture and death in every respect that you can think of. Jesus, as he draws this picture and lets us know, he tells us in verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doeth come." We need to be aware of what's going on. We need to realize what's about to happen and that it can happen even now. And then he goes on to say, "But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known at what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up." Now, here he paints a picture of a home and of a person protecting that home. Now, at the second coming of Christ, Jesus comes in the clouds. Every eye sees him. It's announced. Everybody's aware that he's coming. At the next event is the rapture, not the second coming, but the rapture. And he comes as a thief in the night. No one will know about it except those who are watching, those who are saved, those who are awake during this time. Those who are aware of what's going on. And that he comes, and it happens so quickly. It happens quicker than you can blink your eye. And so this is not a time that you might say, okay, I've got a few moments now. I've got a few more months. No, it's there, and then it's over with. And so he says now, if you don't watch and you're not aware of it, then your house will be broken up. In verse 44, he goes on to say, "Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over the household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil and shall begin to say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour that he's not aware of. And verse 51, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, there are a number of things I want us to look at as we look at this passage. And the main emphasis upon the question, will your house be broken? Is your house ready for Jesus? Your family, will one of them be left? What about your children? What about your brothers and sisters? What about your aunts and uncles? What about your mother and father? What about your whole family? Not only those that are living in the house that you're living in, this world, those that have their own families and scattered throughout this world, are they ready for Jesus to come? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. Here we have a description of that event that's going to happen. And that could be tonight. That could be not one prophet. Should have been last week. Everything is ready for Jesus to come. There's not one prophecy that needs to be fulfilled before Jesus comes. All the events that God said would happen prior to this event of the rapture has literally been fulfilled, and it's been intensified over and over again every day that God delays the return of Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and look at verse 51. Here God tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. Now, when that word mystery appears, it means a lot of people don't understand this, but you can understand it as a child of God. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Not all of us will die a physical death, but we'll all be changed of the children of God, as if we had died and our bodies had been raised. In verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, what a glorious time that is for us that are saved. I'm excited about that. The older I get, the more excited I get about it. I tell you, I've often said, to get old, you've got to be tough. And to those of you that are in those golden years, as we like to say, you understand what I'm talking about. And man, we're looking forward to having that body that won't have any arthritis, that body that won't have any pains and aches, that body that our mind says, I can do it, and our body says, no, you can't do it. And to where we're constantly struggling with that and trying to get by from one moment to the next. Man, would to have that resurrected body where there is no pain, and we'll have total control and have all of the strength that we need and don't have to worry about running out of breath or our knees giving out on us or our back giving away or anything else. Man, that's going to be a glorious time. But what about your family? What about your household? All those involved in your family, are they looking forward to that day? Are they ready? That's the question that we need to deal with and realize what's going to happen, and it could happen now. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, God describes this event a little bit more for us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, the Bible tells us, for the Lord himself, and I love that. He's not sending an angel. He's not sending someone else. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord Man, what a glorious time that's going to be. But also it might be a sad time because our house could be broken up. Our children could be left. Our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren could be left. Those that are involved in our family simply because they have not put their faith and trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Not that they're evil, not that they might be bad. Oh, they're good people. And, of course, if they're in our family, we just make them a little bit better in our minds. All of us want to do that, and rightly so. But regardless of how good we might think they are, if they've never asked God to forgive them, to save them by the blood of Jesus, they will be left. This will happen so quick that you'll not have time to say, wait a minute, I need to say goodbye. No, you won't be able to do that. It's over with. It's done. And you cannot change it. Now is the time for you to change it. Now is the time for you to make sure that your house is ready, that your family is ready for our Lord and Savior. Why would our home be broken up? Now, many of us know this as Christians. Those of you that are here tonight, most of you have been in church for a long time. You know this. You've heard it over and over again. Why haven't we done something about it? See? Well, one of the reasons is that we think we have plenty of time. Daily, we live in that frame of mind that we've got plenty of time. Look at it in James chapter 4 and verse 13. James chapter 4 and verse 13. James chapter 4 and verse 13. There are many scriptures that deal with this and the matter of the time that we have. There's one that tells us we're to redeem the time because the days are evil, and that we are to be aware of the time that we have. Once it's gone, it's gone. But we think, well, I've got tomorrow. I've got plenty of time. This is brought out in James chapter 4 and verse 13. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, but all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Well, I can do it tomorrow. We're always planning about tomorrow. We're planning ahead, and we try to have our schedule worked out for the different things we want to accomplish, and not only tomorrow, but in the months to come and in the years to come. We're always trying to work that. I remember reading a sign when I was a young person in my hometown of Luling, Texas, and we went into a little kind of a drive-in place, and it was Little's place, and we'd always talk about going down to Little's on that. And he had a chalkboard on the wall, and he would write a little statement up there. And the one that really struck my mind and my heart was, plan as if you had 1,000 years, but live as if this is the last day. Okay. Now, we have to be careful about planning in the future as far as the earth is concerned, because we might not have it tomorrow. We don't know about it. But if we begin to major on that, then we think we've got a lot of time. Well, I'll do this and this as the days go by on that. And so our house can be broken up simply because we think we've got a lot of time. We can talk to them later on. We'll talk to them at their birthday, or we'll talk to them at Christmas, or when we have a family get together. And yet the Bible tells us very clearly in Second Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. If you mark in your Bible, you want to definitely mark this passage. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, God tells us, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now, not tomorrow, not next week, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Jesus is coming. Is your house ready? Is your home ready? Your family ready? You don't have tomorrow. Now is the day of salvation. Not when revival comes, not next week, not when we get Christmas or anything else. Now is the day of salvation. Why do we, or why will our house be broken up? It's because we do not believe that he's coming. Look at our text again of Matthew 24 and verse 48. Matthew 24 and verse 48. Jesus mentioned this as he talked about that two would be in the field, one taken, one left. Two grinding at the mill, one taken, one left. And then he said, you need to watch, you need to be sober, you need to be ready. It is time for Jesus to come. And he talks about your house could be broken up. And then in verse 48 of Matthew 24, in verse 48, he mentions why your house might be broken up. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. A lot of people, God's people, who study God's word still have the idea that we've got time, that God's delayed his coming. Now we know that each day that God has to quit playing and get Jesus is a day of salvation for a lost soul. It's a day for a church to quit playing and get down to business with God. And praise God for that. But that does not put us, in fact, if we major on that, then we'll think, well, God's going to delay his coming. I've still got time to take care of my family. Coming yet. How do we know many of our churches are in that frame of mind? We don't think that, well, this might be the last service. Did you come this morning for the morning service and think that might be the last service you'll ever hear? Now, some of us might think of that, and we every now and then try to bring that up on the minds of the things that could happen. Hard time. You could have a car accident. There could be all kinds of things that could happen to you, and this morning would have been the last service that you'd have had. But that's for one individual. It wouldn't affect all of us. When the rapture happens, that includes everybody. Everybody. All of a sudden, they see lost. All of a sudden, people disappear. For the lost, all of a sudden, they see graves open throughout the cemeteries. Not all of them, but just some of them. For the lost, they have no idea what's going on. And then all of a sudden, it feels like the whole world's going to cave in on them. I mean, things are going to begin to happen that they have no idea what's really going on. For the saved, same. We need to be aware and sure that Jesus could come right now. Now, how do we know whether or not a church really has this on their heart? I had the privilege, as God has allowed it to happen, and throughout my ministry, about the coming of a lot of revivals on the end times. A lot of revivals about the coming of our Lord and about what's going to happen and all those things that's going on. A lot of churches didn't want me to come. The reason for that is because there's a lot of people, a lot of preachers, who get involved in the prophecies and what's going to happen in the end times. And if you do not agree with them, then they don't want to have fellowship with you. If you don't cross every T the way you cross it or dot every I the way you dot it, then they're not going to have fellowship with you. We're not going to always agree on everything that's involved in it. But as we go along, and so the pastors would begin to find out as they would be in some of these conferences and some of these revivals that we would have about the last days and about the budding of the fig tree and the valley of the dry bones and these things. They realized that God was using me to preach those as a motive for leading others to Christ. To get people to realize it's time for Jesus to come. Quit fussing over the color of the carpet and get down to business of leading others to Christ. Quit fussing about this and that that doesn't amount to anything except our comfort and get down to business of seeing that others come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Now, Brother Brad is going to be majoring on this. We've got the Encounter 1 coming up. And some programs that's going to be developing in our church and trying to get one of the most evangelistic tools we have in our church, and that's our Sunday school or whatever you want to call it, small classes or whatever. That area of our church is one of the most powerful areas of reaching our community as well as around the world and bringing others to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's to develop each one of us to be the light in the world, and we need to know how to tell others about Jesus and how to lead them to that knowledge of trusting Jesus as their Savior. How do we know whether or not a church is really realizes the urgency of bringing others to Christ? Well, there's some signs that goes along with that. Notice now verse 48 again. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, verse 49, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants. When a church does not believe and will not have it at heart right now that Jesus could come today, then they're going to begin to fuss with one another. They're going to begin to fight with one another. When you've got a church that brought a big knockdown in one big bar, so to speak, you know that church is not looking for Jesus to come that day. Not only will they begin to smite or to fight with one another, but they will begin to eat and drink with the drunken. When you find a church that you cannot tell the difference between the members and a lost person by the way they dress, by how they conduct themselves, the way they talk, and what they're involved in, then you know that church is not looking for Jesus to come. We're to be a peculiar people. We're to be a people that will not march to the drum of the world. We'll not follow the standards that the world gives. We'll follow the standards of God's word, live a righteous life by the power of God, and be that witness because it's time for Jesus to come. Or otherwise, you'll be ashamed when he comes. And so whether or not we are realizing the urgency of the hour and live the life that God would have us to live, if we don't do that, then our house is going to be broken up. We think we've got plenty of time. We don't think Jesus is coming right now. And so you're going to have people in your household that's not going to be saved. Now, there's one other reason why your house will be broken up for a Christian. Why not all your people will be saved? And that's because you do not take life seriously. If anybody ought to take life seriously, it ought to be God's children. It's not a matter of what might happen to me, but how I conduct my life. And sometimes we want to say, it's none of your business what I do. I'll do what I want to do and what I feel led to do, and you just stay out of it. It's not your business. Well, it is someone else's business. It's my business what you do. It's others' business what happens. For you see, what you do affects my life. What you do affects the lives of others. Whether it be in the matter of your conduct, or whether or not you encourage someone or you discourage someone. Whether or not you help someone or you destroy someone by your actions and the way you go on. We're seeing that with our automobiles. A lot of people think, well, it's my business how fast I want to drive. And if I don't want to stay on that side of the line, that's my business. No, it's not your business. It's my business because you're going to run into me. And so we have to be careful about this. And a good example of this is found in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. And this is happening right now. This is taking its control in our churches and causing us to have a situation where our house will be broken up. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. The Bible tells us, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. When you read the word Sodom and Gomorrah, then you know the account of Lot and how Lot took his family into that city. And there, as that city was known, or those cities were known for their ungodliness, for the homosexuals and lesbians, for the same-sex marriage, they made it a law that it was correct and that it was all right. They said, this is the style of life. This is the way you've been created. Lot knew better. Lot knew that it was an abomination for God. Lot knew that style of living would destroy the very foundation of a good home. Notice in verse 7, and delivered just Lot, not just Lot by himself, but justified, one who was saved, one who knew better. Delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. What it's saying is, Lot compromised. He knew what was right and what was wrong, and he wouldn't say anything about it. He didn't like it. Oh, it bothered him to see the ungodliness and all that was going on. When the two angels came to the city to tell them that it was going to be destroyed because of this, of these sins that they were committing. Look at it in Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. And oh, that you might read this over and over again. And you'll see America today. You'll see what's going on right now in our society. In Genesis chapter 19 and verse 12. Genesis 19, beginning with verse 12. The men came to Sodom to check it out. And Lot saw them, and he wanted to protect them. He knew the evil that was there. He invited them into his home. They said, no, we've got to go out in the city, in the streets, and we've got to make sure all of this is going on. He said, oh, no, you stay in my home. And so they did. And you find that the men of the city came to Lot's house knowing they were there and wanted to commit this abominable sin with them. And Lot tried to protect them. Lot had them in the house, had the door shut and locked where they couldn't get in. Lot went out and talked with them and said, what you're doing is wicked. He said, I'll give you my two daughters. You can do to them whatever you want to do. Can you imagine that? His thinking had been warped completely because he compromised with them. He wouldn't say anything against it to begin with. He began to just ignore it and let it go. And he would just go about his business and what he was doing in that. Are we not doing the same thing today? This is a description of exactly what's going on. And then it came to the place, now in verse 12 of Genesis 19. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides sons-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. Now, I don't care what you want to say or what you want to think. By the authority of God's word, if America doesn't repent, it will be destroyed. Or he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. You can try to make it politically correct. You can try to give all kinds of reasonings for it. And I'm going to tell you right now, by the authority of God's word, it will not hold water. Judgment is coming, and judgment will come. And as judgment was coming to Sodom, the angel said to Lot, you warn your family and get them out of here. This place is going to be destroyed. Now notice verse 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. They laughed at him. His house was about to be broken up because he compromised around there. What about your house? What about your family? You might not approve of it, but you're not saying anything against it. You're not doing anything. Just leaving it alone and let it go. I read earlier the scripture that when you know to do good and do it not, that's sin. And how that we need to realize it's time for Jesus to come and destruction and judgment is coming. Notice verse 15. And when the morning arose, now the fire hadn't happened. This city is going to be destroyed by fire. Now the morning arose. Then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here. Now the girls that were married, they mocked Lot. They said, you don't know what you're talking about. You're just over religious. Everything's going to be just fine. And so those are going to be left definitely. Now you've got Lot, his wife, and the two daughters that are in the house. And so the angel says, now you take these, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, Lot still hastened in this thing. And his family, they knew it's coming, but not right now. No, it's going to happen right then. And so while he lingered, the men, the angels, laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him, and they thought, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. Some of you, and if it wasn't for the miracle of God and the rapture, you'd still be here. You're not going to want to leave. If you had a choice at the rapture, somebody said, now, wait a minute, I need to still talk to somebody. Wait a minute, I've got a ball game to go to. Wait a minute, I've got to finish my home. Wait a minute, I'm not ready to go right now. Lot and them wasn't ready to get out. The angel took them, and at the rapture, praise God, you're not going to have a choice. You're going to go whether you like it or not. You'll either go rejoicing and man looking what cloud you're going to be on, or you're going to go dragging your feet all the way, but you're going to go. They took him out of the city. Now, the fire still hasn't failed. Verse 17. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou, telling Lot and his family, especially Lot, sit down, lest thou be consumed. And so now he's telling Lot and his family, especially Lot, said, now, don't stay here. I've got you out of the city. We can't do anything until you're safe. Now, go to the mountain. The fire still hasn't failed. Don't look behind. You run as hard as you can. You go as fast as you can. You go to the mountain. Now, notice what Lot said, verse 18. And Lot said to them, oh, not so, my Lord. Still screaming, still arguing, still saying, no, 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 no. I don't want to go to the mountains. Why? Verse 19. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. He said, man, there's animals up there. There's beasts in those mountains. And I might be killed. I don't want to go to the mountains. And he said, behold now, this city is near to flee into, and it's a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one, and my soul shall live? And he said to him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou come thither. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. Now get the picture. Forget the drawings you've seen. Forget the pictures you've seen. When Lot was escaping Sodom, he was not in the field when the fire fell. How many of you have seen pictures of that? You know, they got the fire in the background, and Lot and them is going out, and his wife turns around and looks back, and she turns to a pillar of salt. That did not happen. The angels drag them out of the city, tells them to go to the mountains, and Lot says, no, we'll be harmed there. He said, there's a little city here. Let us go to that city of Zoar. God said, okay. And so now they're on the way to the city. The next verse, verse 23. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then The Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Then, when was then? After they were in the city of Zoar. The tribulation will not happen until we are completely taken out. Now, verse 25. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew up on the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. She was in the city of Zoar and looked back and became a pillar of fire. When Jesus talked about Lot, he said, remember Lot? No. Remember Lot's daughters? No. He said, remember Lot's wife. Jesus is coming. Judgment is coming. And it's going to happen quickly for us to be taken out, and then that judgment will last for 7 years. Will your house be broken up? Not will you just be ready, but what about your family? That's the question that needs to bear upon our hearts. We do not have time. It's now. They need to be saved now. They need to be witnessed to now. And that not only deals with our family, but what about your neighbors? What about your friends? What about those around you? Will they be left? Or will they be taken? That depends upon our lives. Are we taken seriously? Are we compromising? And we're in that time of Lot now. And what are we doing? Are we fighting against it? Are we crying out and warning the people, this is deadly, this is ungodly, this is an abomination, and people need to get their lives right with God? Or are we just keeping our mouths shut and not saying anything? And our house and other houses will be broken up. The ball's in our court. What are we going to do with it? May we stand with every head bowed and every eye closed.